The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Copyright 2024, JPMorgan Chase & Company.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Pushkin. I was 18 years old when I realized that I might be a homosexual. One day I woke up and just had this feeling. It was just a sort of mist that descended on me. The phrase,
I think I might be gay.
I think I might be gay.
I think I might be gay.
Kept repeating in my head. And at first, it scared the shit out of me. I'm sure all you heterosexuals experienced a similar terror when you realized you might be straight. Jokes aside, I couldn't point to one defining moment where I knew I was gay. I just felt it. And it turns out, the feeling was totally right on. I'm super gay. And that's kind of the way I experienced the inkling that I might be autistic. It was just waves lapping up on my shores with increasing intensity, not spurred by an incident that happened or a book I read or a YouTube video I watched. Just a steady ebb and flow of a feeling. Inside my brain, it was like,
what if I'm autistic?
I think I might be autistic.
I don't want to be autistic.
Am I autistic?
I can't possibly be autistic.
Which in itself seems a little autistic. But if I had to point to one moment when that gentle undulation of maybe I'm autistic turned into 100-foot walls of water crashing down on me, it was March 2020. And we all know what that month was. Hello, COVID times. You're listening to The Loudest Girl in the World, which is not your mom, it's me, Lauren Ober. The Loudest Girl in the World is a show about finding yourself broken in a pretty dark place and emerging from that place a mostly glued back together person. My life before the pandemic began was pretty simple and orderly. I had my routines. Wake up at 8 a.m., feed dog, go for walk,
okay, go.
Make breakfast, put my face on for the day, out the door by 10 to my favorite cafe, which also doubled as my office. But then came March 2020. There is almost no part of 2020 that I remember with any degree of accuracy except March. March was a doozy. March was the beginning of our collective undoing. March was a total piece of shit. Everyone has their own narrative about how that month rolled out, but they all start something like this.
Good evening and thanks for joining us. The World Health Organization has now confirmed what many epidemiologists have been saying for weeks. The coronavirus is a pandemic.
Because I am temperamentally unsuited to work in an office, coffee shops have historically been my own personal co-working spaces. And for the past 5 or 6 years, there's one cafe that has served as a home base of sorts.
Hi, how are you?
Big Bear Cafe is a neighborhood anchor, and it makes its home in a two-story brick building covered in ivy, whose interior I would describe as rustic tumble-down. And it is one of the places in D.C. where I feel most myself.
Hi, Kyrie, how are you? May I have a butterscotch scone and...
I'm a cafe regular, one of those customers who knows the names of all the baristas and their moms and their dogs. I love being a regular at places. It makes me feel like I belong to something. And I would say I most certainly belong to Big Bear. In 2019, I was the cafe's third best customer, an honor that I feel should be included not only on my CV, but also engraved on my headstone.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, yeah, I love the place. But with apologies to the cafe's owner, Stu, I don't love Big Bear because of the food, which is food, or the coffee, which I don't drink, or the Wi-Fi, which is only slightly faster than dial-up. I love it because of its charming, rotating cast of characters, all of whom know that I am an iced tea addict and serve me accordingly. I also love Big Bear because it is part of my routine, and I am deeply attached to my routine.
Ready? Okay, DJ, go.
Or I was. 5 days after the World Health Organization declared COVID a pandemic, all the restaurants, bars, and cafes in D.C. closed. That was the beginning of my upending. Because it meant that I would not be popping over to Big Bear for a day's worth of work and a perfectly fine sandwich. Not that week, or the week after that, or that, or that, or that. In an instant, my routine sailed out the window. Pundits kept saying that life as we knew it had changed forever, which was really not going to work for me.
The COVID-19 pandemic has transformed all our lives. Lockdowns have forced us to change how we socialize, how we shop, how we work.
Ooh, lady from The Economist, get into it. Sell it to me, honey.
The results show that the world is never going to be the same again.
Somehow doomsday prophecies don't sound so bad when they're delivered with a British accent. Anyway, at that point in the pandemic, I was like, oh, hell no. Things will and must go back to normal. Or at least I had to make things normal for myself. So I continued to pack up my laptop and go to Big Bear, even though they weren't open. I would put on real clothes, hop on my bike, and pedal down to the cafe. Then I would sit on an empty patio, pull out my laptop, hotspot off my phone, and try to get some work done. Recently, I made that admission to my young friend Kayla, who was the manager there at the time.
So I came here when you had shut down. Like, nobody was here. I guess I want to know, like, did you know that I was doing that?
No. No, we didn't know you were doing that. Stu probably knew. He probably saw you a couple times, but of course we don't really care what you're doing here.
It kind of seems sad. Is it sad to you that I was doing that, or were you, no?
No, that's not, I totally get that. Say if you forced yourself to, like, stay in the house, you probably would have been so sad.
Sure, Kayla and the cafe crew might not have been fussed by me camping out on the patio by myself when they were closed. They're good eggs like that. But in retrospect, my reaction to the shutdown doesn't feel entirely typical or even that well thought out. I mean, it didn't even really work. The umbrella tables were put away, and the spring sun was relentless. I couldn't see my laptop screen, my cell phone Wi-Fi was spotty, and I had to bring my own iced tea. Dumb. The whole thing seemed a little bananas. Also, kind of pathetic. And if I'm being honest, like a teeny bit stalkery. Looking back, maybe all this holding on to normalcy at all costs when it doesn't even make sense wackadoo-ness should have been a clue that something was up with my brain. There were other clues, like the whole grocery shopping for 2 weeks' worth of supplies thing. I remember having a huge meltdown when my partner Hannah suggested I consider doing this to prepare for any temporary grocery closures. That was in the days of magical thinking when we thought the pandemic would miraculously blow over in less than a month. Hilarious. When Hannah told me I might want to go do a big shop, I lost it. It went a little something like this. Location, my kitchen. Time, mid-March. Hannah.
I think you really need to buy 2 weeks' worth of groceries because we just don't know how this thing is going to go.
Me.
Why do you think I can shop for 2 weeks' worth of groceries? I can barely shop for 1 week of groceries. 1 day of groceries. I don't know how to do that. That's so stressful. Why are you making me do that? I can't.
Cue crying. And scene. As a person who has lived by herself for her whole adult life, I shop when I need food. And I shop for one. The idea of prepping for weeks, even just days worth of meals, laughable, unthinkable, impossible. I just can't wrap my tiny brain around that kind of planning. My executive functioning doesn't seem to extend to comestibles, which is why Hannah's simple suggestion felt so destabilizing. I have my routine, my way of doing things. And to deviate from that feels like being on one of those spinny amusement park rides where you're whirling around and all of a sudden the bottom drops out. It's a lack of control I don't like to think about. And yet, that's exactly what the pandemic did. It stripped all of us of control over our own lives, over our comings and goings, our safe havens, our good times. Now seems like a good time to acknowledge that pouting over your favorite coffee shop closing or having to do extra grocery shopping seems ridiculous when actual people were literally dying from a mystery virus floating in the air. I know that. And if I could hug every nurse and respiratory therapist and paramedic who had to muscle through death after death after death, I would. But also, the pandemic took a toll on all of us. Maybe just in smaller, less visible ways. Lost jobs and fractured relationships and hard truths. For me, the pandemic turned me upside down and shook me out like a lunchroom bully. And it fundamentally changed what I thought I knew about myself. Sitting at Big Bear and shopping for groceries every few days and riding my bike to my recording studio and heading out for lunch every day and going to the movies were just some of the things that made me feel stable, that helped me cope in a world where I never quite felt like I fit. Like all of the bad thoughts I had about myself could mostly be held at bay so long as I had this scaffolding in place to hold me up. And then, without much warning, the scaffolding collapsed. And when the scaffolding collapses, the meltdowns come. And what exactly is a meltdown, you ask? I appreciate the question. Please allow me to introduce the esteemed doctor of nothing, Dr. Autismo.
Oh, thank you, Lauren. Meltdowns are extreme emotional responses triggered by the inability to dissipate stress. The stress that precipitates meltdowns can have specific triggers. Those can include
unexpected changes in plans,
loud noises,
weird touches,
feelings of inadequacy,
feelings of guilt or shame,
conflict with a loved one,
too much social interaction,
not enough social interaction,
missing the bus,
crowded stores,
making a mistake,
being misunderstood,
being told what to do,
being at the end of your tether,
your stupid dumb neighbors doing karaoke at 3 in the afternoon.
As you can see, the stimulus is often mild. Though it does not feel that way to an autistic person, meltdowns tend to be a complete emotional collapse that can also be accompanied by a range of physiological responses. Those include, but are not limited to,
increased heart rate,
hyperventilation,
shaking or trembling,
headache,
disorientation,
sweating,
gross,
confusion,
and just really feeling like shit.
Meltdowns are very distressing for the person having them, as well as for people who might witness them.
But meltdowns are not temper tantrums. The person experiencing the meltdown is not trying to get their way or extract anything from anyone watching.
They are simply suffering an intense response to an overwhelming situation. So if you see a meltdown happen out in the world, don't be a jerk. That is my medical advice. And I am an expert, so you have to listen to me.
Thanks, Dr. Autismo.
You're welcome.
I talked to my partner, Hannah, about this recently.
It's like you see yourself melting down, and like suddenly like all of your masking and coping mechanisms are kind of like falling apart.
FYI, masking is like working real hard just to seem like everyone else. It's also called camouflaging, like hiding in plain sight.
Well, also because if you're in your house all the time, what are you masking for?
Yeah, that's what I said before. What are you masking for? It's like that I'm not wearing a bra, I'm not doing this. It would be like all of your kind of avoidance coping mechanisms, which we will label masking, that whole system that you've set up over 42 years of like, I can figure out how to do this and I hold myself together like this and I go to Big Bear and I know how to, you know, be in social situations and then I know how to blah, blah, blah. Like that whole system that you have figured out for yourself to mask, pandemic comes and it all falls apart. Like, it doesn't work anymore. It's not necessary. It's not the appropriate one. Like, it just doesn't work. And it is not right for the moment.
All that upheaval, that inability to cope, laid a few things bare for me. Like, this isn't right. This isn't normal. I just felt so off.
It was like a confluence of all of these things. And then, in the sort of lockdown, it's like, your attention just gets laser focused. Like my attention got laser focused on a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
My work.
Uh-huh.
And this idea.
The idea of me possibly being on the spectrum.
I couldn't cook for myself. I could barely do my laundry. Like it was so disordered.
There are certain like naked truths that emerge when you're like trapped in a house by yourself during a pandemic that you otherwise might be able to more easily avoid. And they suddenly start to like consume you.
And then the meltdowns came.
Also, like I had to think about the particular flavor of meltdown that I had, which seems completely irrational in ways.
Like how people describe being in solitary and it makes you nuts. Because you're just like there by yourself with your problems and your thoughts. It's a little bit more like that. It's like you see yourself melting down and like suddenly like all of your masking and coping mechanisms are kind of like falling apart.
Okay, sidebar. I'm not comparing my experience of the pandemic with that of people in solitary confinement. That is an unconscionably cruel punishment that no human should be subjected to.
I'm sure there is a way in which a pandemic / quarantine, you know, forces you to see the elephant in the room.
We'll find out what that elephant in the room was after a quick break. How's that for a transition?
Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you, who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Join hosts Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business, and Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and business consultant, on these storytelling journeys of trials, tribulations, and triumphs that hinged on a single event, a split-second decision, or even a stroke of luck. Whether the story is about a warehouse going up in flames or a former partner stealing a whole roster of clients, each episode will showcase the grit, determination, and resourcefulness a small business owner needed to turn a pivotal situation into a springboard for success. Listen to The Unshakeables now and learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC, copyright 2024. JPMorgan Chase & Co. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you're an adult looking for any sort of diagnosis for a neurodivergent condition, be it autism, ADHD, sensory processing issues, whatever, good luck to you. Because the world of support for neurodivergent people is mostly set up to serve children. And while I could laugh at farts all day long, I am not a child. I am an adult with a job and health insurance and many connections in my community. But when it came time to find a diagnostician who was qualified to work with adults, and particularly adults who are not men, it was like needle in haystack times. At first, I didn't even know who could diagnose me. Would it be a psychiatrist or a neurologist or like a dude on the street? The answer was, it depended. Autism spectrum disorder, as it's clinically referred to, is not a mental health condition. It is technically a developmental disability, though there can be co-occurring mental health issues. And autism is highly individual. When I was looking for a diagnosis, I happened upon this saying, "If you know one autistic person, you know one autistic person." Cool. So that means that landing on a professional who was qualified to evaluate me was not as simple as thumbing through the Yellow Pages. And not just because the Yellow Pages barely exist. I started by Googling autism and Washington, D.C. Keyword search on point. I landed on a local organization for autistic folks in D.C. They had a resource page on their website, and I emailed two of the psychologists on there. One wrote back that because of telemedicine rules, she could only see virtual clients in Maryland or Virginia, not DC. And the other responded that an evaluation would cost upwards of $3,500, and no, they didn't take insurance. Then I got a recommendation from a friend of a friend. The note read, "Dr. White is fabulous and 100% gets autism spectrum disorder. Most likely does not take any insurance." Ugh. But I reached out anyway because maybe she'd be more reasonable than the other guy if I was going to have to pay out of pocket. And she was, but she couldn't get me on her schedule. The more I kept running into brick walls in my search for an autism evaluation, the more urgent it became to sort this out. I almost felt panicky about it. Like, I have to see someone about this or I'm going to combust kind of feeling. I reached out to another friend of a friend who had recently been diagnosed to see what their experience was. And theirs was even worse.
"The fact that I'm Black and AFAB,
assigned female at birth,
is what took 41 fucking years for me to get a diagnosis."
Right.
"And that's ridiculous. It's right. Absolutely ridiculous."
Aziatu, that's their name, told me that they had initially just diagnosed themselves because they didn't want to deal with therapists.
"I didn't like therapy, hated therapy.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's a system. It's racist. It's misogynistic. The way that therapists are taught is also very ableist." Mm-hmm. "And I just don't like it." And so I was just like, "Oh man, I really don't want to fucking go through therapy again to get this diagnosis."
Right.
And I was like, "Okay, so if I do happen to want to pursue a diagnosis," I was like, "I need someone Black. I need someone non-man.
Mm-hmm.
And I need someone preferably queer." Mm-hmm. "And just ideally autistic." And I found my unicorn.
Sadly, Aziatu's unicorn was on sabbatical, so I couldn't go see them. Ugh. But something Aziatu mentioned stuck in my brain. Self-diagnosis. I started researching what it meant to basically confirm your own suspicions. Like, I've diagnosed my own facial rashes and lady problems. Is it any less valid to diagnose myself as autistic? I didn't really know. So I watched some YouTube videos on the topic.
The next topic is self-diagnosis.
Do I think that self-diagnosing is okay? Yes. Yes, I do.
Please don't think that you're any less valid because you don't have access to a diagnosis. What does valid even mean?
Because at the end of the day, only you can know how you feel and think. And only you know who you are deep inside.
And who I am deep inside is a person who prefers to have her own suspicions confirmed by medical professionals. Self-identification, however valid, just wasn't the answer I was looking for. So I was gonna get that evaluation, honey. Finally, I got connected to a pair of women I affectionately refer to as my autism fairy godmothers. Donna Henderson is a neuropsychologist, and Sarah Wayland has a PhD in cognitive psychology. Both work with neurodivergent folks, mostly kids, and together they've been writing a book about subtle autism, basically autism that is difficult to detect. So I asked them for help. Like, I gotta get evaluated. But why can't I figure this out? Am I a dummy? Donna said I'm not.
Literally every single week, both Sarah and I see a patient, a family where there's clearly autism, and it fell through the cracks over and over and over again. It's so endlessly frustrating that people can't understand themselves in this way when it can be so helpful. It's just, it's inaccessible and it's frustrating.
My autism fairy godmother suggested that I look into this autistic psychotherapist in Canada whose practice specifically addressed accessible autism evaluations and support. Her name is Dr. Natalie Engelbrecht, and she is really into autism. Like, not only is it her job, it's also her hobby. She and her husband and her best friend, like, research neurodiversity on the weekend for funsies. The godmother said Dr. Natalie's assessment method seemed thorough and fairly standard, and at this point, I was done with trying to find someone who took insurance or didn't cost a bajillion dollars. It's so frustrating to know that care exists, but to not have any way to access it. And good Lord, I have it easier than most. The system is fucked. Anyway, Dr. Natalie's fees were reasonable, and she was looking like a real option. After the break, I get cracking on making it happen, or something.
Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Join hosts Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business, and Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and business consultant, on these storytelling journeys of trials, tribulations, and triumphs that hinged on a single event, a split-second decision, or even a stroke of luck. Whether the story is about a warehouse going up in flames or a former partner stealing a whole roster of clients, each episode will showcase the grit, determination, and resourcefulness a small business owner needed to turn a pivotal situation into a springboard for success. Listen to The Unshakeables now and learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2024 JPMorgan Chase & Company.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at tmobile.com/now.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
In between bites of chips and salsa at a little Mexican restaurant in Wilmington, North Carolina, of all places, I just felt like enough was enough. I was ready to pull the trigger on my autism suspicions. Let's do this thing, Dr. Natalie. So before my enchilada came, I pulled out my phone and composed this email. Dear Dr. Engelbrecht, I am writing to inquire about the possibility of getting evaluated for autism. I have suspected that I might be autistic for some time, but I've had a hard time landing on a professional who might be able to evaluate me. I was referred to you by a psychologist friend here in the U.S., and I'd love to get some more information as to what is involved in this process. Many thanks. Sincerely, Lauren Ober. And then it happened.
It's already started.
Oh, fantastic.
I connected with Dr. Natalie.
Before we get going, can you give me an ID, say my name is, I am a bloppy blop, whatever all your titles are, or however you want to identify yourself?
Sure. So you mean right now?
Like yep, my yep. Name just is, say my name is. Yep.
My name is Dr. Natalie Engelbrecht, and I am a registered psychotherapist as well as a naturopathic doctor.
One reason for Dr. Natalie's clinical interest in autism is that Dr. Natalie is autistic. So is her husband, Martin.
A lot of my practice is autism. I do a lot of assessments and diagnoses, and I also see a lot of people on the spectrum. And that just was something that sort of quietly happened.
She had been writing a lot about autism when Martin encouraged her to broaden her practice to assessments.
I was like, I don't know if it's needed, you know, and then people start finding me that I'm this psychotherapist that actually has autism herself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that would be something that would be a good thing.
But turns out people like to get help from folks who are like them. Also, studies have shown that people with autistic spectrum traits have slightly higher social psychological skills, meaning that, according to these studies, autistic people are marginally better at accurately judging the feelings, thoughts, and behaviors of people as a group, though not necessarily individuals. So autistic therapists are for sure a good thing. Did I just blow your mind?
We sort of come off as psychic. But we're not. We're picking up patterns that we don't even really know we're picking up quite often.
So that's Dr. Natalie. She's not a psychic, but she's into science. She's into autism, and she's into being Canadian, eh? I don't know about that last part. I just made that up. After talking with Dr. Natalie, I felt comfortable putting my trust in her and her methodology. First step, pay her the money. The whole enterprise, an initial assessment and a follow-up diagnosis, if needed, cost under $1,000, which isn't cheap. But hey, Dr. Natalie has to eat too. I recorded myself walking through the whole payment process in November of pandemic year number one.
It's so strange. It just feels so transactional, like not how I anticipated doing some kind of screening. I mean, after all of the different people I reached out to and contacted, you know, about whether or not they do screenings of adults and whether they take insurance and how much it costs and all of that stuff, just to be sort of plunking down $350 for an initial assessment seems like too easy, but also like, is this how medicine is supposed to work?
I believe that in the absence of an equitable, affordable system of care with competent, conscientious providers, the answer to that question is yes.
Oh, great. Now what? We've received your payment for autism screening assessment. I'll just screenshot that.
Once we squared up, Dr. Natalie sent me a screening questionnaire, which consisted of 12 written questions and links to 6 standard psychometric tests used in autism evaluations.
Hello. Thank you for your payment.
Upload your screening questionnaire. Use this upload link for your documents.
Girlfriend Hannah was over when I got the screening packet and the email.
Wait, hold on. Attached is the screening questionnaire. Huh?
If she heard how you read that, it'd be like, oh, don't worry about it. Just don't bother.
What?
Upload your questionnaire.
I literally did not sound like that.
Literally sounded like that.
That's not true. Wait, I gotta read the directions.
I read a few of the 12 questions out loud before I sat down to answer them.
What differences in social interactions do you experience, such as emotions, interests, initiating conversations, interrupting, not knowing when to talk? That's like a big one for me. What is your experience with routine? How do you feel about changes and transitions? I don't like them.
Okay.
Could I write that?
Yeah, I think that you need to set aside.
What is your experience with routine? I like them, and I don't like when it changes. Do you regularly eat the same food or wear the same clothes? What would you answer for me?
Yes.
Okay, so I got the written questions, I got the 6 psychometric tests, I was ready to do the thing. And then, many days later...
I haven't done the test yet.
You want to do it right now?
No.
Why haven't you done it?
I don't know.
Well, let's do it right now.
I can't do it with you. It's like a personal thing.
I think it's probably better if you do it with me.
Why would I do it with you?
Because you're going to lie.
Lie.
Yeah, and I'm gonna hold you on. You're gonna be like, they're gonna ask a question like, do you speak in a loud voice? And you're gonna be like, no.
What are you talking about? Of course I know that I speak
you
in a loud voice.
Much. It's gonna be like, no, I talk Hannah, about as much as anyone else.
First of all, of course I know those
do
things.
You ride smoothly on an airplane? I'm like, yeah, if I just get my snacks.
What's wrong with having snacks on the airplane?
Exactly. That's how you're gonna answer all the questions.
Of course, Hannah is goofing with me. Our rapport is just sometimes pokey like that. She didn't actually want to do the evaluation with me. She was just trying to ease the anxiety and trepidation of the whole thing. Because it's scary to answer those types of questions and provide at least 3 examples that support your answers. And then send them along to Dr. Natalie. It's like flaying yourself in front of a perfect stranger. Like, here are my guts. But... if I wanted to see this thing through, if I wanted to get some answers, I had to put pen to paper and start answering. And so I did. You've been listening to The Loudest Girl in the World. It's hosted, written, and executive produced by me, Lauren Ober. Our senior producer is Ryder Alsop. Our associate producer is David Ja. Sophie Crane is our showrunner and senior editor. Jake Gorski is our mix engineer. Music composed by my autistic Kiwi pal, the inimitable Lady Hawk. Our artwork was created by the autistic illustrator Loretta Ipsum. The show was fact-checked by Andrea Lopez Cruzado, and our autism consultant is Sarah Caput. Our executive producers are Mia Lobel and Lital Molad. Dr. Autismo was played by theatrical genius Kevin Zack. Check him out on Instagram at Kevin J. Zack. That's Zack, Z-A-K. You can find Dr. Natalie Engelbrecht online at embrace-autism.com. Special thanks to Aziatu Lawayi, Kayla Gray, and my autism fairy godmothers, Dr. Donna Henderson and Dr. Sarah Wayland. And thanks to you, friend, for listening.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Digital trends show up every day in business decisions and actions. West Monroe is the number one strategic partner translating technology into financial value for companies. The This Is Digital podcast applies West Monroe's two decades of secrets and best practices to your business's benefit. Favorite past topics from the last three seasons include how AI and the next generation of employees are shaping the workplace, becoming a product company, Highmark's journey, and what does it mean to put the customer first? Learn more at westmonroe.com.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.